You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
This is James Avera from Hellstar and Sabbath Judas Sabbath! Rock out with your geek out!
Welcome, my friends, to episode number 237 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with...
Brutal Dave here. How's it going?
What's up, Brutal Dave? And we also have with us...
George Chipsis.
Wait, George who?
I'm trying to keep it, you know, trying to clean it up a little bit for you guys. Keeping it classy I'm in the classy space in my call right now.
Well, nobody else but us can see that because we're an audio podcast, but that's okay.
Okay.
So who are you then? Who are you again?
George motherfucking Chipsis.
There you go. And we have a very
broadcasting
special...
Broadcasting from the corridor of the Millennium Falcon.
That's right.
Apparently.
If you can't see it... Like you can't. He is on the Millennium Falcon right now. Thanks for taking time out from your trip. How long did it take you to get here?
Well, I'm broadcasting live from the Falcon right now. Well,
how many parsecs did it take you to get here?
Only 12.
Very good. Perfect.
Yeah, not too far.
And we also have a very special guest. We have Sean the Metal Pigeon, my co-host on the MSR Cast podcast. How you doing, sir?
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks for geeking out with us tonight. And I think that's it. Wait a minute. Am I forgetting somebody? I feel like I'm forgetting somebody.
Maybe.
Who is that? Is that the voice from the other room?
That is.
Wow. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show. Kimu Borgir, the voice from the other room. My significant other, my better half, as it is.
Thank you for having me.
What do you want to go by? You just want to go by Kim?
Kim, yes.
All right.
It's easier to say.
That is very true. So welcome everyone back to the show. How's everybody doing? How's everybody's mental health?
Oh, my mental health. Yeah, it's okay.
Me too.
Improving for the time being, at least. Yeah.
Right.
There you go.
Everybody doing cool stuff to keep your mind occupied?
Did a lot of yard work today, and then I slaughtered a bunch of demons, so that was cool.
Nice.
Oh. So
you gotta pay extra for that.
Were these demons trying to attack you while you're doing your lawn?
No.
Because I didn't think the world had gotten that bad yet.
Give it time.
Okay. Give it a couple weeks. We just opened up again. How far are you on Doom Eternal?
I am approaching the end of the game.
Very cool.
I don't know how many levels I have left, but I've gotten the warning of if you're going to do any upgrading, do it now because you won't have a chance to come back.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I've reached the point of no return where it's... So I've been going back and picking up the stuff that I've missed. I have one... I guess I maybe have done everything because I've opened all the Slayer gates and I got the Unmaker and all that stuff.
What level are you playing?
I think I'm ready to go.
What level are you still playing?
Ultraviolet.
God damn it,
Ultraviolet.
Wow.
I was on easy. Had to.
It's a hard fucking game. This one's significantly harder than the 2016. Yeah,
I was just on the I Am Geek podcast last week, and one of the brothers on that show worked on Doom Eternal, and I voiced my frustration with him. He's like, "Well, I didn't have anything to do with it, but you know, yeah, it's a great game. It's an amazing game.
I think it's I love that it's as hard as it is.
Yeah,
personally,
Not just the gunplay and the fighting, but some of the just level traversal, it's really difficult. You have to really think about what you're doing.
I will point out one thing that was frustrating that I guess is kind of a bug. I actually looked it up. maybe you'll, if you're out there listening and you have this problem, look into this. So I was playing through and I did the first Slayer gate because they basically give you the first Slayer gate,
yeah.
Right? And then they're like, okay, so this is how you do the Slayer gates from this point on. You have to find the key. It's going to be near the gate, et cetera, et cetera. I'm playing through the whole rest of the game and I can't find any more of the Slayer keys.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to think that the Slayer keys aren't populating in the game world. Turns out, if you go back to the mission select, if you have activated cheats in the mission select,
oh.
It considers them active in the campaign itself, even if you're not using them.
Right.
Like, so that, because in the, but it because it's activated in your console on your ship, the Slayer keys don't appear if you have cheats enabled.
That makes sense.
So I played through most of the game not able to find the Slayer keys, and then I discovered that, and I've gone back like, oh, okay, none of them are actually as hard to find as I thought they were going to be. They were hard to find because they weren't there.
What cheats were you using? So,
I wasn't. That was the thing, is because you know if you go back through the mission select, you can activate any cheats you've unlocked.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. I just had something clicked on in that.
Okay.
That's all it was.
But I was waiting for Big Head mode.
Remember? I'm not using them in the campaign itself.
I was looking for Big Head mode. Couldn't find it. Remember those back in the day?
From 007?
Yeah, and like Goldeneye. NBA Jam. And they had that on NBA Jam. It's like Big Head mode. Everybody's like head was like super huge.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're almost.
So anyway, if you're having trouble finding the Slayer keys, check the Mission Select console and make sure you have your cheats disabled.
Speaking of Slayer keys, this is a weird segue, but today is the anniversary of Jeff Hanneman's death, and he was the key part of the songwriting in Slayer. So Slayer
well
keys.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
So, yeah, that's a stretch there.
I'm known for my stretching.
In honor of Jeff Hanneman today.
That's right. Go jam some sick Slayer riff tonight. Even if you're hearing this after the day, because we'll be releasing it afterwards. Jam Slayer anyways, man. Listen to some Rain and Blood.
Word.
All the time.
Your dog agrees, I believe.
That dog
now.
Agrees.
That dog does agree.
That's my dog. You're welcome. He's... I'm going to have to get him to come inside. He's going to be obnoxious this whole time.
That's okay,
he's
man.
He's outside my window barking.
Right. We're now. All dog friendly. It's all good. Yeah. So what have you been up to, Mr. Who are we going to go to next? Let's go to George next. What have you been up to?
I have been... what have I been doing? Oh, I've been working a lot.
Y'all?
Yeah. And then...
Doing all those training videos?
Yeah. Actually, I just finished one yesterday. I did finish a training video just yesterday. So very there's cool. That. And then watching TV and movies here and there.
We're going to get into that because I've been watching a lot of stuff and playing a lot of stuff, really.
And I played a video game. I just can't remember what game I played at the moment. I'm having a brain fart of what game I played. I was playing Ghostbusters. That's what I was doing. Ghostbusters.
That's right. The remaster.
To see what games were backwards compatible with my Xbox One, and so I was playing. I watched Ghostbusters 1 and 2, then immediately played Ghostbusters.
So it's not the remastered; it's the old version. That's just...
yeah, it's the one from 360. Yeah. I didn't really see the purpose to buy the same game over again since I already had it.
Right.
That was a fun game. I enjoyed that game.
It was a really good game.
I need to revisit that, yeah.
2009, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's still like it feels like I'm playing Gears of War at times with the way the controls work. But
I remember that.
For the most part, it's pretty awesome.
I need to go back to revisit that.
I feel like I'm playing like I'm a Ghostbuster.
It might be the only Ghostbusters you're going to get this year, so.
Do what?
It might be the only Ghostbusters you're going to get this year. Did they move the movie to next year or this year? Do you remember?
Yeah, hopefully that gives them some time to make it better.
No. We're not going to go there yet. I haven't seen it
game,
yet.
I think that where that game really succeeded, that you just hinted at, George, was that it really made you feel like you were in Ghostbusters. Like, they really captured the feeling of it. And that, to me, that was what, like, the gameplay was just kind of fine. It was fine. But they made you feel like you were in Ghostbusters, and that was a lot of fun.
Most definitely. And so because I played Ghostbusters, I was trying to see what other games were backwards compatible that I own. And it turns out I don't own any more backwards compatible games besides games I already have. No. So I noticed that Indiana Jones and the Emperor's Tomb was on there, and I went to see how much it was on Amazon, and it was like $3 on Amazon, so I bought that, and I'm playing that right now.
That's a good, that's a fun game.
Is it really? Because I only started, and it's the mechanics of the game is terrible. But it's, I try to, you know, give it some leeway, because, you know, the game came out in like 2003.
It's an Indiana Jones game. I haven't played it probably since it came out, so I might have like clouded memory of it, jaded memory. I remember, I'm playing Indiana Jones action game. It's great. It's like Tomb Raider in a way, but it's not.
Yeah, it's just when I try to jump in a straight line, he never really jumps in a straight line. He'll either jump to the left or jump to the right.
Yeah, if they could do a new Indiana Jones game based on the newer Tomb Raider style, like Uncharted.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. Cool,
they already made that. It's called Uncharted.
I was about to say that too.
Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider. Speaking of,
Uncharted already took that prize.
I'm trying to go through my backlog of video games during this time, and I put in the last Tomb Raider game, I think it was the Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which I'd never completed. I put it in, and like 45 minutes later, I beat the game. I'm like, oh, I guess I was really close to the end.
I only played the first one, which was Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah. There's a second. Yeah, there's three of them so far. They're good games.
Yeah.
I'm playing right now God of War. I never completed that. What's that?
Boy.
I've completed the game, and I think I've completed all the side missions. Now I've gone to one of the worlds I couldn't go to before, and I'm going through like these like challenge areas in a way. So you keep on climbing, and you go up the mountain, you go to another challenge area. They're getting quite difficult, but that game's so amazing, so good. I don't know why I didn't go back to it sooner.
It's a great game. I love the storyline in that game.
And I'm playing if you guys have Xbox Game Pass out there, there's a game called Gato Roboto. It's such a cute little game, right? It's maybe like a 3 or 4 hour game. And basically you're a kitty cat in space, and you're traveling with this dude, and you land on this planet, and you find a mech suit. So you're a kitty cat in a mech suit, basically. And it's totally like the original Metroid on the Game Boy, original Game Boy. And you can actually go through the game and find different color palettes that changes, like, okay, it's like now it's a green hue or like a purple hue. And it looks just like an old Game Boy game. But there's a couple parts really difficult. I'm on the end boss right now, and I'm having trouble completing it. There's a couple parts that I had to leave it and come back the next day. I'm like, fuck this game. Old school.
Does changing the color palette change how the world acts?
No, well, just the way it looks.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
If you turn the world purple, and now like certain items are interactive that like weren't Ikaruga before or something was like that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've collected maybe like 15 or 20 color palettes, so there's a lot. But it's a fun little game. If you have Game Pass or you have a Switch or something, I think it's like really cheap, and it's produced by or published by Devolver Digital, who I'm a big fan of. It's been a fun little game. It's just this last part is like really difficult. But I mean, it's just like a Metroid game, but you're a little kitty cat. You can get out of your mech suit too. There's like certain parts where only the cat can fit through, and the only attack you have is like meowing or making noise. So it's pretty fun. So what have you been up to, Mr. Metal Pigeon?
I don't know.
That's
watching
not
random things.
What have you been watching? I've been watching a lot of random shit too. So,
like a lot of comfort TV stuff. Like I've rewatched now like Parks and Recreation all the way through.
You know, I've been thinking about doing that because I've never gone through the whole show.
Yeah, I finally finished the whole show.
Nice, George.
You know, stuff like Frasier and
it's like the end of the world right now in his background,
and 30 Rock and stuff like that. Just random, and then just random YouTube stuff.
Did you watch the reunion show for Parks and Rec the other night?
Yeah, last night actually, which actually was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
I mean, as far as it could be, you know, being done on Skype or whatever they were using.
Right.
Yeah.
It's cool that these they're able to produce shows during this quarantine from like Zoom and all these other, all the late night shows are doing it, and it's been pretty fun.
I am like running out of patience for it a little bit, like when Bill Maher does his show, and it's just like,
oh, I don't watch Bill Maher at all.
His backyard doing interviews with people. It's just sort of like, ugh, I don't really want to watch this anymore. I'm getting tired of the Zoom thing.
I've lost respect for Bill Maher a long time ago when he started talking shit about comic books and Stan Lee and stuff. I was like, oh, you're done, dude.
Yeah.
Man.
He pisses off a lot of people.
You've been told All-Father that way.
Right? The All-Father. Come on. So have you been listening to any music?
Yeah, a lot of music. I'm listening a lot to the new Nightwish album, which I didn't really pay attention to at first when it came out. So
we had conversation about that on MSRcast, which I mentioned one of the first song that I heard. I didn't like this, her staccato, as it was like along with the music.
Yeah.
But I liked the album quite a bit. That doesn't bother me when I listen to it in a cohesive way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm still trying to puzzle out what I think about the album, because it's not entirely negative, but it's not entirely positive. It's somewhere.
You were a bigger Nightwish fan than me back in the day. I didn't like Nightwish before Floor Jansen came in, so that's where I stand on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I totally understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
I was listening to the new Sorcerer album today, which comes out soon. It's really, really good.
Yeah.
It's not out yet.
It's not out yet.
I went looking for it and I couldn't find it streaming.
Yeah. So. Benefits of promo sometime, but we can talk about it definitely more on MSRcast. It's really good.
When does that come out?
I think it's May 29th.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
a good day.
The voice from the other room, why is that a good day?
Well, you know, talking about there's actually a video game coming out that I'm looking forward to. It's actually coming on to Nintendo Switch, BioShock, which I'm going to play the heck out of when it comes out. I've already played it on console, but it's one of my favorite franchises.
How many times have you played it on console?
I mean, not all only once to completion, but, you know, I pick it up and put it down and stuff, but yeah.
This is the, it's all three games, right?
I have to double check.
I think it is. And there's also that same day a Borderlands collection coming out for Switch.
Yeah.
I was looking on the Switch store today, speaking of it, and I was like, oh, what's coming out? The Kevin Smith and the Jay and Silent Bob Mall Brawl, like it's like a beat 'em up type game, comes out next week.
That's finally coming out?
Like, finally coming out.
Like Double Dragon style?
It's like it looks like Double Dragon, yes, sir, in a mall.
Sweet.
There's video of it where you're actually beating up the, sorry if there's any noise in the background, we're doing it live. You get to beat up on the Easter Bunny.
Do you have to hit LaForge with a sack of quarters?
One of your weapons is a sack of quarters, actually.
Yes.
I am so down for this game. And you have to fight a guy, a giant pretzel, chocolate covered pretzel.
Nice.
I'm like, sold. All right, I'm down. Looking forward to that. It's not going to be great, but I'm sure it's going to be fun. Speaking of a old school beat 'em up game, if you have Game Pass again, Streets of Rage 4 came out for free this week on Xbox One, but it's also available on other platforms as well. And I played the first level, and it's definitely old school. Old school difficulty, old school gameplay, everything about it, it's amazing. I'm looking forward to playing it online with some people.
I was playing like old NES games with my kids last week.
Nice.
And so I was trying to find NES games that I had that were co-op. There weren't a lot. At least I didn't have a lot of them. But I'm digging through. We had played like Ninja Turtles, the arcade game, Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game. That's a good co-op one.
That's Turtles in Time.
We played that
right?
for a while. No, Turtles in Time was four. That one was on the Super Nintendo, and that one's great. No, this was this was a bit before that. And so we played that for a while, and so I'm digging through, and I'm looking for other co-op games, and I'm like, oh, cool, I have Double Dragon. I put it in. Did you know the first Double Dragon on NES was not co-op?
Really?
I
did not know
that.
I'm
like, how do I get the other player in? And so I had to look it up, and it's like, nope, there was some, like, technical limitation when they ported Double Dragon to the NES. And so they were able to figure it out for the later Double Dragon games, but the first one for NES was not co-op. And so
distinct memories of Double Dragon, me and my cousin Michael playing it at Astro World. There's like one lone arcade version of Double Dragon that was by Accelerate in that little far off section of the park. I just remember playing through the game with him at Astro World. I don't know why. It just sticks out in my mind. But if you want to borrow any NES games once we, you know, reopen the world, you can borrow anything I have.
That'd probably be cool because my kids have kind of gotten into playing some of these old games.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, and I only have so many. So.
Very cool. Miss Kim, what else have you been? Have you been binging anything? What have you been watching?
Well, we watched together. We started to watch, we finished Community.
We did.
So we've got our six seasons. We're just still waiting for that movie, which, yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, they just put Community back on Netflix or onto Netflix, and we binged it pretty heavily. Such a great show. It's one of my favorite shows of all time. One of my top five shows of all time, I think. What do you guys think? Do you remember that? Do you ever watch it?
I've never seen an episode.
Oh,
so,
man.
I saw that it was on Netflix now, and I know that you're a big fan, so I've been considering giving it a look.
Yes. First season was a little bit more sitcom-ish, I think. They really got into their stride in season two. It became very fourth wall-breaking and paying homage to all these different styles of like movies and films and TV shows and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
very funny.
The Pulp Fiction thing going on, which is funny. All the the paintball wars and the pillow forts and all that stuff. So that was fun.
Yeah, it's a great show. I've been debating whether to jump back in and do a rewatch on Scrubs.
Oh, that's right.
So I don't know.
I did that not so long ago, but that was way before the quarantine, though.
Did you?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Ted from that show just passed away yesterday.
I saw that on Facebook, I think, yesterday.
Yeah. He had cancer for a while. Just didn't make it. I've been listening to a couple new podcasts. One is The Darkest Timeline, which is community based. Go ahead, George.
The world we live in now.
Yes, so it is. Well, The Darkest Timeline is one of the episodes from Community. So, and there's a whole thing about it in one season about The Darkest Timeline. If you roll dice. And depends on – there was like a whole episode where they rolled dice to see who would go get the pizza from the door. And everybody that went to the door, every time they rolled the dice, there was a different timeline that was created. Very smart, funny show. But The Darkest Timeline is Joel McHale and Ken Jeong basically talking about Community and being stupid. And Ken Jeong actually talks about what's going on with the COVID virus a lot. He's very smart. He was a doctor. And the other show I started listening to was – I can't remember the name of it, but it's about Scrubs. So it was Donald Faison and Zach Braff started a rewatch podcast of Scrubs. So
they're watching themselves on Scrubs?
Yeah, they watch it and they talk about the episodes. And they have special guests and all this kind of stuff on there too. But it's interesting how it's taken this quarantine for all these celebrities to like do this kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, they got nothing else better to do.
They really don't. Neither do we, so.
Except to watch what the celebrities are doing.
I do want to make a recommendation of something I did watch. If you have Apple Plus, I did the a week trial just so I could watch this. The Beastie Boys story.
Yeah.
It was so super awesome. It was sort of a documentary style, but it was done in a theater. They filmed it live in a theater, like in Brooklyn, I believe. So it was Mike D and Ad Rock doing this live performance as they showed stuff behind the scenes, and they showed like clips and all this kind of stuff. It was really, really well done. If you have a chance to watch it, and if you're a fan of that style, there's a lot of stuff I learned about License to Ill I did not know, and especially Paul's Boutique, which I think is one of my favorite albums by them, was a bomb. It failed when that album came out, and I didn't even know that. So if you're a Beastie Boys nerd, it's definitely worth checking out, and it's really well done too. Spike Jonze directs it, I believe.
Yeah, he did a lot of their stuff back in the day.
He did a lot of the music videos and things like that. And they even have Nathaniel Hornblower on there, if you know who that is.
Nope. Should I?
If you're a Beastie Boys guy, you'll know. Very cool.
I like some of their stuff.
Yeah, so Nathaniel Hornblower, not to blow the horn on it, he was it was MCA in a Swedish outfit, pretending like he was like his uncle from Sweden. He would come in to film his music videos. So anytime you see, like, Sabotage was directed by Nathaniel Hornblower, that's what it was. This whole behind-the-scenes, like, little inside joke that became a whole thing. I think when that Sabotage was, like, maybe it was the MTV Music Award, he came out on stage when, I think it was REM won for Everybody Hurts. He jumped the stage.
For Best Video, I believe.
Yeah, for Best Video. He came on stage and, like, gave his whole spiel about how they should have won and all this kind of stuff. It's pretty funny.
So he did it before Kanye did. So
he did it before Kanye did it. That's right.
Wow.
So what else have you guys been watching, George? What can you recommend to us during this time?
Recommend is such a strong word.
I'm going to hold you to it now.
Yeah. I mean, I've just been like watching older stuff that I've been wanting to catch up on.
Yeah.
That I haven't seen in a long time. Like, I watched Peter Jackson's King Kong last night.
Okay. You seen it before or no?
Yeah, I own it. Okay. So just the movie.
The middle hour of that movie's pretty good.
I enjoy the whole movie. I think the movie's great. I think it's a little long, and Peter Jackson can get a little long-winded sometimes. Yeah. But yeah, most totally. Part, I think for the most part, that movie's pretty dope. It didn't get a lot of justice in theaters, for what I remember.
I liked it. I remember that. I remember enjoying that movie in the theater too. That's the one with Jack Black, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jack Black kind of hams it up a little bit at times.
God, Jack Black. Doesn't he? Jesus Christ.
When does he not ham it up?
It was Beauty killed the Beast.
Beauty that killed the Beast.
Like they needed somebody who was not Jack Black to deliver that line. I otherwise liked him in that movie, but God, when he got to that part, I was like, okay.
I'm watching this new show on Disney Plus called Prop Masters.
I watched two episodes yesterday.
Dude, it's so awesome. Good.
Which episode did you watch?
I just finished watching the Tron episode.
Okay. I didn't start from the beginning.
I think it was a Tron episode. I can't remember. I watched three episodes.
I only know the name of the show, and I'm assuming that I know what it is based on that. So please enlighten me. What is the gist of the show?
This guy who's been a prop movie prop collector for over 20 years, and he's like also a guy who can investigate to find lost props.
Yeah.
And so now he's working with Disney, who also owns the rights to Fox stuff. So he's making it a mission to find long lost props, or props that people don't really know about or know where they are. And he's kind of reuniting those props with people who worked on it on the movie, or even the actors. And it's pretty great. I enjoy it. No, I now just remembered the last episode I watched was the Nightmare Before Christmas episode.
I haven't watched that one. I started with the Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which was really cool.
See, I'm trying to go in order.
I didn't go in order, sir.
You got spoiled on who's the surprise guest they have.
On which one?
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh, I can just imagine.
Is it Rick Moranis?
It is Rick Moranis.
I mean, the Roger Rabbit.
So many years. So
I mean, Roger Rabbit had Christopher Lloyd and Jessica Rabbit. What's her name?
Kathleen Turner.
Kathleen Turner. Thank you. That's why the voice from the other room is on the show now to help with my memory. We also watched the Pirates of the Caribbean one, which was not as good, but it was okay. There was a cool thing where they actually
neat.
Yeah, it was neat because like there was a part where he went to Disneyland and he actually got to walk around the attraction when it was closed. And in the Disneyland version of Pirates of the Caribbean, there was an actual movie prop in the attraction. I'm not going to spoil it, but if you want to watch it yourself, you can check it out. Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching more of that tomorrow. You know
it's really cool because the unfiltered access that he's given to like, Disney archives and all that stuff, and I think that alone makes it worth watching.
Yes, I want to do a show just so I can get access to it like he does. I have been watching.
Good luck.
I know, right? the newest season of Star Wars: The Clone Wars. I am caught up. The last episode is going to be Monday on May the 4th. It's so good. They are caught up right now. The last episode, I'm not going to spoil anything if you guys want to watch it, but they are caught up on this season of this show. It's the last season ever, again, of where Order 66 happens in the movie franchise.
I mean, how many times can we actually show the Order 66 thing?
This is a different version of it.
Okay.
Have you watched this series at all?
I tried watching season one, and I got immensely bored through most of season one.
It's a slow burn. It really is. There is episodes in this season I'm like, okay, when's the payoff going to happen? But these last three episodes have been phenomenal. So if you're a Star Wars fan, please check it out.
Okay, I just skip the whole show. Last three episodes.
If you want to.
I would say, George, you've got 250 some odd episodes to go to get there. So.
That's possibly true.
I have the same hurdle. I started watching it. And like it was okay, but it didn't really engage me. And I think it dropped off of whatever streaming service I was watching it on at the time. Mm. And I just kind of lost interest. So I'm not real up on Clone Wars myself.
I think truthfully, you asked that question. I think you can actually go to episode 9 of this season and watch 9, 10, 11, and 12, and you'll be okay. You'll see the finale of everything.
Cool.
Truthfully, I think it'd be okay. You're not really missing much major story in the first 8 episodes of the season. Truth.
I watched the few episodes of that new Amazon show, Upload.
How is that? I've been wanting to check that out.
It's okay. It's not as funny as the show thinks it is.
It's done by the same people that do Parks and Rec and The Office. Isn't that correct?
Yes. This probably explains why I don't think it's funny.
No. If you don't think those shows are funny, you probably won't like it then.
Yeah, and this show also has the unfair advantage of coming out after The Good Place, because this show so much wants to be like The Good Place.
Oh, really?
Not be The Good Place.
I binged that, whatever they had available on Netflix. I binged up to the end of season 3.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for that last season to come out on Netflix so I can watch it.
You're referring to The Good Place now?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm waiting for it too because I watched the series on Netflix, so I haven't seen.
You haven't seen season 4 at all.
Any of this last season?
Oh wow!
None of it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to when it shows up on there.
What about you, George? Have you seen season 4?
No, not yet. I'm waiting for it to come out on Netflix as well.
I wonder why it hasn't come on yet. I mean, it's been out. It's been done since September, October, November, or no?
I don't know. It's going to because NBC is about to release.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Their new service called Peacock.
Peacock.
Yes.
Peacock. Yeah,
it's totally different streaming service than like Pornhub or whatever. It's not a specific type of porn. Okay.
Is that Robbie Amell in Upload? Is the main actor?
Yes, that is correct.
Oh.
Is he as bad as his brother is?
I mean, he's not very good. That's what
you mean. Does he get off the island?
Right. I could not, man. I tried with Arrow so many times, and I'm just like, I got pulled out every time by the CW-ness of it.
It I was got to season four and I tapped out. So.
Yeah, like I watched the first season. After that, I got boring.
Go ahead, Dave.
Is it still on?
No, it's over now, I think.
No, it's over.
Okay, I watched the first season of it, and like it was entertaining enough, but like Amell is terrible. He's bad.
So that's his brother like the in show, the show?
That's his younger brother.
Okay.
No, I stopped watching for a while.
So I think y'all haven't watched their new movie, Code 8, on Netflix then?
No. Have you?
I did.
Is it bad?
It's not bad. It's not very good either.
It's not good.
It's not bad. You know what I did see on Netflix last week? And I watched Extraction, the Chris Hemsworth. Well.
Yeah.
What did you think? I want to know.
I thought the action was great. I thought the plot was terrible. I was kind of
the plot was just a MacGuffin. It was just, you know what I mean?
It was background noise to like 12-minute one shot that they were trying to make everyone think that it was all one take.
There was a lot of follow shots which were pretty cool in the action. I liked the way they shot the movie. It was really well done. But yeah, it was,
I just think that orange yellow.
Oh yeah, the color correction was horrible. Like we're in the Middle East, we have to have an orange.
Yeah, Michael Bay came in and said, "Hey, you know this will look cooler if it was orange."
It was directed by Joe Russo, right?
No, it was produced and written by Joe Russo and directed by the stunt choreographer from Infinity War and Endgame and Civil War and Winter Soldier. So this is like his first directorial debut.
So if you're a fan of the Russo brothers, go back to Community again because they are one of the producers and they wrote and directed a lot of episodes of that show.
Yeah.
Before they got to Marvel, you know what I mean?
That's how they got the interested.
Yep.
And that's why there's so many Community people in Marvel.
That's correct. That's why there's a lot of cameos.
Except for Danny Pudi, who was the only important one and never got a cameo.
There was a season 6 episode where they were talking smack about the Marvel movies, like very fourth wall breaking. Yeah. I thought it was pretty funny.
Cool.
What else did I watch? I watched Miracle Workers, both seasons of that. Have you seen that?
I've never even heard of that.
It's fun. It's a funny show. It's the first season. God, what's his name? I can't think of it. From Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe. And Steve
Buscemi.
Is this
the one where they would Steve Buscemi as God?
Yes.
And they were okay. I haven't watched any of that. It looks funny.
There's only the first season is only like 6 or 7 episodes, but the second season it's completely different. Like it's called the Dark Ages, so it's all set in medieval times. So everybody's job is based off what their last name is. So Steve Buscemi, his last name is Shit Shoveler, so that's what his job is. Daniel Radcliffe is actually the prince, and the king is Peter Serafinowicz, plays a fucking scary king, like a really mean guy.
Is this on Netflix or what?
It's
on
TBS. So if you can sign.
I don't have cable anymore.
Well, yeah, I think you can log into the TBS app. I was watching them for free.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But it's a good show. It's a funny show, and it's a really quick, you know, go through. And on Hulu, I started Future Man.
I'm sorry.
You don't like it?
I thought it was clever for the first season, but then it just kind of gets annoying.
Okay, I'm only on episode 6 in the first season, so
yeah, it just reminds me of how much I get how quickly I get tired of Seth Rogen's humor.
I gotcha. I mean, these are shows that I've been watching as I'm working, so they're sort of background noise. I have them on an iPad next to me, so I'm not like 100% invested in them. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I was going to say, there's a show that finally came back that we started watching. I think it's on the third episode we watched Friday, I believe.
Are you talking
about FX?
Are you talking about What We Do in the Shadows?
That is what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Have you guys been watching the season yet?
I haven't yet.
I have them on the DVR, but I haven't started watching.
I still need to finish season 1.
Dude, come on.
Do it. What? Do it now.
Don't watch crappy Netflix movies. Watch this.
I know. I keep wanting to start it from the beginning, and every time I get to the first and second episode of the show, I feel like, this is kind of like a rehash of the movie. I want to watch something else.
Speaking of bad Netflix movies, there was one that I watched. I guess it came out earlier this year. It had like Ben Affleck and a couple guys from Star Wars. I had the Mandalorian. Can't think of his name now. Sorry for all the beeping, guys. People are bugging me. What's his name from The Mandalorian? Drawing mind blanks now.
Pablo
Escobar.
No, not Pablo Escobar. But it also has Oscar Isaac in it and a bunch of people. And it's an action movie, but the first...
Triple Frontier?
Yeah, that was it. Did you see that?
I seen the movie. It was a Netflix original.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it was okay.
I liked the first maybe hour of it. After that, it wasn't a big fan.
It was all right. Like, it kind of... It's a middle-tier Netflix movie.
Yeah, pretty much. What about you, Sean? Yeah. Is there anything you recommend to us?
There's this YouTube channel I've been watching. This guy named Benjamin Rich. The channel is called Bald and Bankrupt.
Oh, yeah?
And he goes to, like, the most gnarly, sketchy places on Earth to travel. Like, I just watched one where he's in the slums of Mumbai. And then he goes to he had another one where he went to the most dangerous neighborhood in the capital of Peru. Wow. And just like, stuff like that, where it's like people are like, oh, you would never go here. And he's like, OK, I will. And it's just him and the camera. And he has this sort of confidence about him when he walks in these places that I think throws people off, and they don't know what to make of him. So they just kind of stay away from him. And right. He's like this bald British guy who kind of just, you kind of feel like he could be in the mafia. So maybe you don't want to go approach him. So it's an entertaining channel. So I'll say that.
I haven't been watching, which is weird, during this quarantine, I haven't been watching as much YouTube as I was previously.
I've been all YouTube.
Have you? Yeah. There's this guy, everybody's been sharing him on Facebook now. It's that Australian cook guy with long hair.
Yes.
Do you know who I'm talking about, guys? I can't.
No.
I have no idea.
Kim, can you pull this up? I can't remember the guy's name. But
I'll have to, yeah.
He's fucking hilarious. He cusses a lot when he cooks, and he's just this Australian long-haired metal dude talking about cooking. It's pretty funny.
All right.
Yeah. Once she pulls it up, yeah.
I watched this really good horror movie on Hulu. It's called Little Monsters.
What's it? Little Monsters?
Yeah, Little Monsters.
Okay.
It's a horror comedy about this kindergartner teacher and this guy who's trying to impress the kindergarten teacher, and they're on a field trip at like this petting zoo thing.
I saw this.
We saw that.
That's, zombies break.
Yeah, Lupita Nyong'o.
Yeah, Lupita Nyong'o.
And Josh Gad's in it.
Yes.
That was actually a good movie. I liked that movie.
Yeah, it's really, really funny.
Funny, yeah.
Josh Gad is actually funny for a change. Who would have guessed?
Josh Gad is a character. He plays that same character a lot. I watched that movie or that TV series on HBO because I had like that free week of it. Avenue 5.
Oh, I tried watching that. I got really bored.
The first episode it got really funny like later into the episodes.
I watched the first three and I couldn't get into it. I thought Hugh Laurie was not pulling me in as much as I thought he would.
Yeah, Hugh Laurie is good in it. I've never been a big fan of his stuff because I never watched House or anything, but Josh Gad in that show, and then the guy from I can't think of his name now, but he was in The Office, and then he was in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, the big tall guy.
Lanky guy, yeah. I thought Avenue 5 was great. It was fun.
I couldn't get into it. I wanted to, but I couldn't get into it.
Go ahead, Kim. What were you going to say?
So I'm going to say I did find it's called Nat's What I Reckon.
Nat's What I Reckon. Yeah, because it's in the Ninja Turtle font.
Yeah, it's in the Ninja Turtle logo. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so this is a guy who cooks and curses a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Australian metalhead dude who he's like, if you don't like what I'm doing, fuck off. He doesn't care. He's like, if you don't have this pasta, fuck it. It's
amusing. Really
it's very amusing.
Cool.
Yeah.
I watched the first two episodes of The Midnight Gospel on Netflix.
Okay, I saw that.
It is goddamn weird.
It's like a podcast, right? But animated?
Yes.
Have you watched it, George?
I watched the first episode.
I watched the first two. It started to make a little bit more sense once I got into the second one. Oh, really? It's from
like as soon as the first episode, I was like, I think I'm done with this show.
I mean, it's still basically the same premise, but to me, it like clicked a little bit more.
Okay,
but yeah, like it's from Pendleton Ward.
Adventure Time.
Creator of Adventure Time.
That's right.
And I can't remember the other guy's name, but he is a podcaster that Pendleton Ward is a fan of. And his podcast, he goes and like talks to authors and artists and all kinds of different people, and they talk philosophy and like just weird fucking ideas and stuff. So Pendleton Ward had approached him and said, hey, what would you think about turning your podcast into an animated show? And he told him no.
I mean, and, on paper, that doesn't sound like it makes sense.
It doesn't make sense if you watch it either, to be honest.
No, it's fucking weird. And okay. So eventually Pendleton Ward like developed this idea a little bit more and approached him again, and he went for it. So basically what the premise is the main character is a space caster, which is he's like a video podcaster, and he broadcasts across the universe, okay. Basically.
That's our next goal, guys. That's where we need to get to.
That's right. So
fuck this internet.
The other thing about it is there's a technology that exists in the world where they have universe simulators. And the tech elite use the universe simulators to mine for additional tech. So they basically create universes in the computer and watch them develop and then mine them for technological advancements.
That makes sense to me now.
So the main character has a like stolen and hacked universe simulator that he has in his office. And so what he does is he picks a universe, and all of these universes are on the brink of Armageddon. they're all about to end or already have. He picks one of these worlds. Yeah, exactly. He picks one that is on the brink of collapse. This is where it starts to get really fucking weird and like psychedelic.
This is where it gets weird.
This is where it gets weird. It's not weird yet. So he picks one of these universes, which for all intents and purposes actually exists. And he chooses an avatar that he is going to embody within this universe. And then he goes into this machine that looks kind of like a vagina. And it births him out. It births him out into the universe that he's picked, and he goes and he finds somebody in this world that's getting ready to collapse, and he interviews them for his podcast while the world is collapsing around them. It's really fucking weird. Like the whole first episode, it happens during a zombie apocalypse, and he's traveling with the president while they're killing zombies and like saving people, and it's. But they're talking about psychedelic drugs and wow. like consciousness expansion and like it's this really weird dichotomy of like them having these weird, like kind of stoned, but like in-depth philosophical conversations.
I might give it a chance. I'll check it out.
It's weird. Bizarre.
It is.
And
it's also kind of like bland a little bit. I thought it was a little boring to start off with in the beginning.
The second episode was better. Actually, okay. I felt like the dichotomy between what they're talking about and what's happening to them in the world was a little bit more interesting in the second one.
I usually give shows maybe three episodes before I bow out if I can't get into it. You know,
this show is not for everybody. Okay. It is not.
Netflix picked this up. This goes to show me Netflix doesn't give a shit what it puts out. They just want like big names and shit to go out.
Right. I
haven't decided if I like it yet.
I see so, George has changed his background to Knives Out.
Oh, did it? I didn't see that happen.
Wow. So speaking of the detective on that show was played by a guy named Lakeith Stanfield, right? he's one of my favorite characters on Atlanta. Have you seen that show?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you see the second the episode in the second season? I might have discussed this before, where it's sort of like it turns into like a horror movie, and he goes to pick up this piano.
Oh yeah, I saw that episode.
It's so good. But I watched this other movie he was in called Sorry to Bother You. I know that's, George, you've seen that.
Yeah, I talked about it last year or the year before.
I think you did, and it took me a while to go watch it.
That's not what made you watch it, though.
No.
You saw the one guy on that other show.
Right. We'll get to that. yeah, I was not expecting what happened in Sorry to Bother You to happen. If you guys have Hulu, check it out. It's freaking weird. I don't want to say anything because it'll just spoil like the big giveaway. You know what I mean? But what Kim mentioned before, one of the guys in the movie, what's his name? Jermaine Fowler. That's the dude's name. He's a comedian, but he's in that movie, but he was on, what were we watching? It was, RuPaul's like celebrity drag something.
Like, yeah. Secret Celebrity RuPaul's Drag Race.
There you go. He was one of the drag people on
the
there.
The Secret Celebrity one now?
Yeah, this like the second episode, I guess, aired yesterday. So
I wanted to tell Catherine about it. She loves that shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We watched, I guess, our Sunday morning rituals have now been watching RuPaul's Drag Race. Because I come downstairs Sunday, and depending. I come downstairs and that's on. So.
Yeah. My wife also enjoys that, so I'm subjected to that as well.
So the celebrity one is interesting because, like Jermaine Fowler, he was pretty good. It's, they get other, like it's famous drag stars or whatever from previous episodes or seasons of that show. And then they get them to do makeovers and they teach them how to be a drag queen and all this kind of stuff. But the second episode you were watching earlier, there was actually females doing drag.
Yeah. So they had Vanessa Williams, some lady with some type of basketball wife show, and then Lonnie Love, which is on the show The Real. So she's a comedian as well. So yeah, we'll see. I haven't watched all of it. We'll see.
And this was like one of those shows where they use the term celebrity very loosely.
Well, the first episode, I would say they use it. The second one, I knew who 2 out of 3 people were.
Let's go back to Sorry to Bother You, George.
Uh-huh.
Why didn't you force me to watch this movie earlier?
I tried telling you to check it out.
I know you did.
It was weird. And I told you it was very interesting. And it's also that the writer and director is a musician. he's a rapper. Actually, I think that would be wrong to call him a rapper because he's just a musician. He does all sorts of kind of music.
Okay. I didn't know that.
But anyway, Sorry to Bother You is probably the most unique and strangest experiences I had watching. And
yeah.
I'm all better for it now, I think.
You what?
I think I'm all the better for it since I watched it.
I think so, too. It's on Hulu. It's free to watch if you have Hulu. Please check it out. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to spoil any of the major plot points. But
Armie Hammer is hilarious in that movie.
Yes, Armie Hammer. It's a mind trip. That movie is a fucking mind trip.
I watched something. I think it was the first one of these lockdown episodes that we did with Justin. I can't remember if I have talked about it since then, but he had been recommending I'm Not Okay With This. I watched that whole series. I really enjoyed it.
I tried watching it. I couldn't get into it.
Really?
God, dude,
I got to episode 4.
Keep watching it. It's really good.
You
got that far in.
Yeah, I got that far, and I was just, I probably will finish it because I am a completist. Speaking of, I finished Once Upon a Time last week or a couple weeks ago. That show got
good
so
for
bad.
You.
That got so bad.
It did.
But I struggled through it.
I'm glad that this hard time in your life is behind you now.
It is. But the only cool thing about the last season.
Dave, you should really check out End of the Fucking World if you liked I'm Not Okay With This.
It was really good, yeah. And that one is on Netflix as well?
Yeah, they're both on Netflix.
Okay.
And then I mentioned it last time we recorded. I watched season one and season two of Sex Education on there.
You mentioned
and
they that.
Are so good.
I watched the trailer for that.
I really enjoyed it. I think you might like it as well.
We watched an episode of the Big Show show, the sitcom with the Big Show.
Is that the wrestler?
Yes.
Yeah, the WWE wrestler.
It's on Netflix.
All right.
It's not. It's a typical like Nickelodeon style, you know, sitcoms show, and it's like, it's okay.
Laugh track, correct? Laugh
yeah.
Track
cool. But more, you know, younger. Again, maybe geared for younger. Audiences type of, you know, Netflix or our
Big Show
Nickelodeon.
Still hot with younger audiences?
Whether ever?
I don't know. That's I don't watch wrestling.
But it's about his kids and his family life and that kind of stuff, you know?
Mm. I watched hashtag Black AF.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it done by the Blackish people?
Yeah, it's the creator and writer of Blackish. And apparently he's a producer and writer on a lot of Black...
Yeah.
Centric things. And I had no idea about. It's all right. It's pretty funny. It has its moments where I laugh pretty hard, but overall, it's just all right.
Going back, this is going to lead me to my segue. Going back to Once Upon a Time real quick, the only thing that was worthwhile in this last season is Madame Leota from the Haunted Mansion was in it.
Cool.
Which is pretty cool. Speaking of, let's talk about not being able to go on a trip. So we were supposed to go to Disney at the end of this month. We are tentatively, we've changed our schedule to September. I don't want to lose any of my money, you know what I mean? So we've changed our hotel and our, because our tickets that we bought are good to the end of the year. I just don't know what's going to happen yet. So we're hoping, you know, September might be okay, but it probably won't be. If there's no, cure for this thing going on right now, there's no, you know, we're going to be shut down till next year, I think, for a lot of stuff like that. But I wanted to play something fun. I played this on when I was on I Am Geek. So Disney Parks put some quizzes out about the Disney theme parks. There you go. Nice background.
There you go.
I know Sean might not be able to be as heavily involved, but I want you to try to answer as well. I'm going to go through some quizzes with you guys and see how far we can get. Who gets the most points?
I'm going to be terrible at this.
Whoever gets the most points, I don't know. What do you guys want?
$1 million.
Okay, I'll give you $1 million. So
you heard it here, folks. You got it on record.
It can be Monopoly money, right?
$1 million nope. Bells.
I'll give you some bells.
Bells. I need $1 million bells.
From Animal Crossing? Are you guys playing that?
Catherine is. It's become Kim is. Her like, new drug of toys.
Have you guys got that, yeah. Dave?
No. There's okay. No Animal Crossing in my house. Never has been.
I think your kids would be...
That's a whole problem.
Your kids would be super addicted to it.
Completely unfamiliar with.
I am too. I've never liked it. Health. I think if your kids got it, they'd be addicted to it. It's like crack, from what I hear.
Yep.
All right. So do you guys want to do how well do you know Epcot's World Showcase? How well do you know the history of Fantasyland at Magic Kingdom? How well do you know the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland?
These are all good topics.
Right, we're going to start with Disneyland, right?
Dave, this is what I hear.
All right, so.
Number this is an unfair advantage for you two, I'm just saying.
I'm not playing. I'm just going to read them, so I'm not going to answer.
Dave, would you like to answer everything?
Yes.
Yeah. You guys have to. We have to figure out a way for you guys to like raise your hand or something to answer the question first. So just Dave, just leave your hand up the whole time, basically. All right. Number one, the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland was the first major attraction created without the direct supervision by Walt Disney. True or false?
True.
That's a weird question because
no, it's true because
he
it was
the
show I just watched.
He was alive for some of it, but he was not alive when they completed it.
That's correct.
You can say the same for Pirates of the Caribbean.
I would agree on that. The answer is true, but I agree. I am on page with that because
score one for George.
He was showing off Haunted Mansion stuff during that one episode of like Wonderful World of Disney and Pirates too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this one's an easy one. How many ghosts occupied the Haunted Mansion? 50. 999 or 1969?
999. I knew that one.
Dave got it.
You didn't raise your hand, George.
Oh, we have to do that? I'm sorry. Yes. I didn't realize you
or farming in a good question.
I was just yelling.
The Haunted Mansion is in what land at Disneyland Park? Critter Country, New Orleans Square, or Adventureland?
New Orleans Square.
Yep.
Okay. See, I knew that answer too, Dave.
No, you didn't.
I totally did.
Okay.
Y'all, I raised my hand.
Y'all both get on. Y'all both get points. Just say teacher. Point. I got the. Okay. What is the name of the
land?
Go ahead.
Nothing. I was gonna bonus round George. What's the name of the land that the Haunted Mansion is in at Magic Kingdom?
Ooh.
It's not New Orleans Square. I know that.
It is not. Nope.
It's next to Fantasy Island or whatever.
God damn it. Don't say Fantasy Island.
I know that much. I know it's close to the like Magic Kingdom and stuff.
It's it's Liberty Square.
That's right.
Liberty Magic Kingdom.
What is the name of the singing bust quintet made up of Rollo Rumpkin, Uncle Theodore, Cousin Algernon, Ned Nubb, and Phineas Pock? Okay, I'm going to give you three options here. Is it the Dead or Alive Five, the Hatbox Ghouls, or the Phantom Five?
Phantom Five.
Did you raise your hand?
I sure did.
No, you did.
You should, it was so fast you didn't see it, Carrie.
Do you have an answer, Dave?
I'm trying to remember. A Phantom Five sounds right. I know the name of the real life band that they were from.
I know, right?
So I know that one.
What's your answer?
I'll go with Phantom Five.
You are both correct.
Yeah.
Everybody gets a point on that one. Even Sean.
The Mellow Men was the real life counterpart.
That's correct.
To them.
Everybody thinks that one of those busts is Walt Disney, but it is not. Alrighty, number five. There's only five questions on this one. The epitaphs on the tombstones are written in honor of Disney legends and Walt Disney Imagineers who created and maintained the attraction. True or false?
True.
False.
True.
Answer is true. Yeah. Dave is 5 for 5 on that one. So he gets to pick the next round.
Okay, what were the remaining categories?
Oh, there's so many of them, dude.
You gave us like three. Right?
I gave you three. We can do the first three. How well do you know Epcot's World Showcase?
Yeah, do that one.
All right.
Do that.
Damn it.
So not very well is what you're saying.
Hold on. Safari cannot open the page because the server cannot be found. We might not be able to do that one. Let's see if it's...
That's false.
What the heck is going on? All right, hold on, guys.
Just make
we
stuff
broke
up.
The game.
I'm gonna pull it up on another device. Talk amongst yourself for a second.
Oh, I watched another TV show, guys, that y'all might enjoy. It's a show called Cursed Films. It's available on Shudder TV. Do either one of you have the Shudder
no.
access?
I feel like Shudder is a thing I need to be subscribed to.
I think you
really should.
Yeah.
It's so awesome. Such a great service. You can watch all sorts of weird horror movies on there and classics and slashers and curated stuff. And anyway, the Cursed show, it's like a mini docuseries. Talking about like these movies like The Exorcist, Poltergeist, The Crow, Twilight Zone, and The Omen.
That's cool.
And they basically like these are movies that have like these like stigmas attached to them that they're supposedly they're haunted because certain people died in the filmmaking of it or afterwards or so on and so forth. And they kind of tap into the legend and where it comes from. They talk to the filmmakers and all that stuff. And it's pretty great. Y'all should, if y'all have a chance.
I like documentary stuff like that.
Get that free subscription. They have like a 30-day subscription. Definitely sign up for it.
Very cool.
Check it out.
Check out the Crow one. That'd be cool.
You guys ready for the next round?
Yep.
This has eight questions. All righty. Kim, you can play along too, okay? Sean, you as well. He's like, what? No.
Just shout shit out, Sean. That's what I've been doing.
How many international pavilions have been added since the park opened?
20.
You can't see the finger I'm holding up. That's my answer. 1, Norway. 2, Norway and Morocco. Or 3, Norway, Morocco, and United Kingdom.
3.
2, right?
Dave?
Hang on. I'm running through.
We need a Jeopardy.
Is it
taking too
long? Is it two?
It is two.
Okay.
It's because they don't like British people food. That's why.
No, because that was open.
That was an open and original.
That was open already.
Yeah. They have a lot of Doctor Who stuff there.
Yes, they do. Okay, question number 2. What Disney royalty occupies the Royal Summer House in the Norway Pavilion at World Showcase? Belle, Snow White, or Anna and Elsa?
Anna and Elsa.
I saw your eye roll, Dave.
You saw my eyes roll. I did. I've been there. I've been there and I met them. Yeah,
I have too. I haven't met them, but I've been there. Which international pavilion opened in 1988? Norway, Mexico, France, or Morocco?
It's nice. Morocco, wasn't it?
It was not. It was Norway.
All right.
Norway. Dave, you were wrong about something. Holy shit.
I did. I missed one.
A new attraction, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, is currently planned for which pavilion? United Kingdom,
France.
United States, or France?
France.
Everybody gets that one right.
Even Sean knew that one.
Even Sean knew it. Where can you enjoy performance by the Jeweled Dragon Acrobats? Japan, China, or Morocco?
China.
Japan.
China.
Wasn't it was?
Where can you? Where could you enjoy?
Could. Thank you.
In the past tense, yeah. Yes. No more live.
They took all that away.
All the live stuff is gone. You say China?
I say Japan. Yeah.
Japan.
It is China.
Lame.
Snow White often greets guests at which international pavilion? Germany, United States, or United Kingdom?
Germany, because that's what Dave said.
Dave was correct, so you get a point.
But in doubt, go with Dave's answer.
Which World Showcase restaurant features live music by Oompa Band? Via Napoli in Italy, Chefs du France in France, or Beer Garden in Germany.
Germania.
Yep.
It's the Beer Garden. I've eaten there. It's good.
The design for the American Adventure attraction building was inspired by each of the following, except Monticello, Independence Hall, Old State House in Boston, or Valley Forge.
Valley Forge, baby.
Okay. What do you think, Dave?
I'll go with that. I'm not sure. I'm almost certain that Independence Hall is one of them.
Kim?
I'll go with them as well.
Sean?
Valley Forge.
There you go.
You guys are all correct.
Woohoo!
Good job. All right.
High five myself.
That was it. George gets to pick next one. Do you want to do Galaxy's Edge?
Sure.
Since you've never been there?
No, not yet.
And neither have I. I had a dream that I finally got to go on Rise of the Resistance. Like, this was like a couple weeks ago I had this dream. It's still vivid. I was so excited. I remember being so happy that we got to get there. And then we couldn't get off the ride because there was like no ending. We weren't really there. I was like so upset.
Never ending ride.
You know, that was so.
The worst ride ever now.
So you just steal a stormtrooper's helmet and take a shit in it.
Right.
Then all right. Just kick your
Which planet do you visit in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge? Hoth, Coruscant, Batuu, or Naboo?
Batuu, baby.
Well, you didn't raise your hand.
Batuu.
Did you say croissant?
My hand's always raised. You just can't see it. It's hidden in the...
Did I say what?
Slightly above. Croissant? Is that what you said?
Croissant.
Okay.
Croissant, yes.
Like pastry?
What city do you visit Star Wars Galaxy's Edge? Black Spire Outpost, Mos Eisley, Gungan City, or Coruscant?
Black Spire.
Black Spire, yeah.
Yeah.
It says it on every packaging.
It does.
Pretty much.
Let's see. He's got the pin.
That's my Black Spire Outpost pin.
How much was that? Nice.
$14.95.
Orange.
$9.99.
Oh, wow.
Cheaper than it has an actual price on it, yeah.
Oh, wow, not the color scheme. Okay.
It's not teal?
Nope.
I guess orange. So.
Where is the planet of Batuu located? In the deep core, along the galaxy's outer rim, or near the Rishi Maze? Dave said it first, outer rim.
Man, they love the outer rim out in Star Wars. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. Gotta keep that outer rim clean, though.
That's right.
Or are you not going to visit in 12 parsecs? At Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run, which job is not a role guest take on to steer the ship? Engineer, gunner, pilot, or the Jarek Battler?
Engineer.
That last one.
I was going to say janitor.
The Jarek Battler. Engineer, gunner, pilot, the Jarek Battler. George, what do you say? Which says he?
What was the question again?
Which is not a role guest take on to steer in Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run?
Gunner, right?
It's one. It's that last one. Whatever you said,
because yeah,
I've done
engineer. You just push buttons, right? It's just the two pilots.
The Jarek is the chess game they play on the Millennium Falcon. There's my Star Wars geek coming out.
I've always called that virtual chess. I didn't realize that had a real name.
So you guys are all correct. Even though Sean said the wrong name, wrong one. Where can you find DJ R3X, the former Starspeeder 3000 pilot droid from the original Star Tours attraction? At Ronto Roasters, at Docking Base 7 Food and Cargo, or at Oga's Cantina?
Oga's Cantina.
Good job, Sean.
Danke.
Savi's Workshop is where you can blank, build your own droid, build your own lightsaber, or shop for Tordarian toys.
Robots in disguise.
Savi's Workshop. Okay. Which one? What do you say, Dave?
Trying to remember. I didn't actually go in those places. I think that's the droid one, though, isn't it?
Kim, what do you say?
I could see google.com.
Put your phone down. We had a reservation there on May 29th.
We had reservations at both places.
What's up?
You have to have reservations to do those things. You can't just walk
for
in.
One of them. You do the one that you actually have to pay $200 for.
Okay, that's lightsaber one.
Yep, but y'all didn't get it.
Yeah, we do.
Half a point.
Yeah,
guests can try blue milk in Star Wars: Galaxy's Edge. In what film did this drink make its debut? I'm not even give you options. You just say
A New Hope. Yep. A New Hope.
Everybody gets that one's easy.
Star Wars.
You guys are getting so many points, my pen ran out.
Nice.
And two more questions. Skip. Guests can also taste green milk at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. In which film did this drink debut?
Last Jedi.
What do y'all say, Dave?
I'm not sure. That Last Jedi sounds as good as any answer to me.
Yeah.
That is correct. That's what Luke was drinking straight from the tap.
Luke's milking.
That weird aliens food.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Where can guests purchase a holocron? At Droid Depot, at Savvy's Workshop, at Black Spire Outfitters, or Doc and Ondar's Den of Antiquities?
I'd guess the Den of Antiquities.
The dead one, because it's a Sith thing, so.
Holocrons?
Yeah, Sith.
The Jedi used
holocrons. Yep. I think they're called something else for Jedis.
Alrighty, so Dave is in the lead. You want to do one more round?
Sure.
Whatever.
I'm going to give you three more choices. Let's see. Do you want to do Tower of Terror?
Sounds cool.
Or I'm giving you choices. Pirates of the Caribbean at Magic Kingdom. Or how well do you know the Grand Fiesta Tour at Epcot?
Let's not do that one.
Unfair.
Let's do Tower of Terror or Pirates.
All right, we'll do Pirates first.
Yeah.
All right. Four questions on this one. When did Pirates of the Caribbean open at Magic Kingdom Park? 1971, 1973, or 1975?
73.
What do you say, Dave?
At Magic Kingdom,
yeah.
Not Disneyland.
Correct.
75.
Kim?
That was my guess, 75.
Sean?
75.
1973. George got it right.
No.
Damn. Motherfucker.
It's the background that helped.
Yep. It's the magic.
That's right. How many fairy dust?
How many audio animatronic figures will you find in Pirates of the Caribbean and Magic Kingdom? I'll give you options on this one. No. 99, 125, or 142?
I'm going to go safe and go middle of the road on that one.
I'm not sure.
What do you say, Dave?
I said I'm going to go middle of the road on that one. What was it, 125 or whatever? I'm not sure. Dave. So,
yours was Dave?
Yeah.
Kim?
August 142, just for the heck of it.
Sean? Use those metal pigeon powers. 142?
Yeah.
It, the answer is 125.
Ah.
Sweet.
Cool.
All righty. How tall is the single plunge on Pirates of the Caribbean? Is it 14 feet, 17 feet, or 24 feet?
It's not very tall, so I'm going to say 17 feet.
I think 17 is probably about right.
Kim?
Sure. We'll go 17.
Sean?
What were the options?
14, 17, or 24?
24.
It's 14.
Okay.
Is it that? Is that all?
That's it.
Okay.
It feels so much longer when you're a kid, doesn't it? It's like the longest drop in the world, but it's really not.
Well, I imagine the one at Disneyland is different, too, yes. I would guess.
The one at Disneyland actually has to go under the berm to get...
Yeah, so right.
The one in Disney World is just made to replicate what Disneyland has, basically. All right. Who is the composer that helped write Yo-Ho, Yo-Ho, A Pirate's Life for Me for the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction? Is it Robert B. Sherman, Buddy Baker, or George Bruns?
I like the word George, so I'm going to go with that.
I'm sure you do.
It's not one of the Shermans?
Is that your answer?
Sure.
Okay.
Shermans is right for the time period. I was thinking of Exotencio, but he wrote the lyrics, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go with Sherman.
Sean? And it's not the Sherman brothers you're thinking about from sports?
Oh, it's not? No. Oh.
Isn't there Robert Sherman in NFL or something?
Richard Sherman.
Richard Sherman, there you go.
That's my answer. Richard Sherman.
The answer is George Bruns.
Magic King.
That's all right.
Do I have to give him that point? All right.
Yes.
All right. So, do we want to do Tower of Terror?
Sure.
Go.
I got to pull it back up. Hold on, I got to find it. Tower of Terror. Where the hell did it go? It disappeared on me. Huh, get it? Because
it went to the Twilight Zone.
It did.
Yep.
Like the elevator disappeared. Okay. Four questions. According to the storyline, what was the date the building was caught in the middle of a violent storm? I got three answers for you. Friday the 13th, 1927, Halloween night, 1939, or May 1st, 1941?
1939.
It's 1927, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Kim?
Yeah, that time period seems about right.
Sean?
27.
The answer is 1939, Halloween night.
Ah, okay.
For real?
For real.
What am I thinking of? I think maybe I'm thinking of cornerstone on the building that maybe is dated.
Maybe.
That far back. Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
I think in one of the videos, it's like it's a Halloween, like unlike any other or something like that. The bustling, it was, yeah. All right. Okay, sorry, George, my pen ran out. I can't give you that point.
Ah.
How many roof tiles are used on the building? God. 27,000, 33,500, or 42,000?
This is a real question.
Wait, what was the question again?
How many roof tiles are used on the building? I mean, come on. You haven't been there and counted the fucking roof tiles when you were there?
I'm afraid not.
You're not a big enough fan then. You just guess.
What's the middle number?
33,500.
I guess yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah.
27,000.
Ah, bloody hell.
How tall is the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror? Is it 179 feet, 189, or 199?
189.
Why do you say that? Do you have a reason?
Nice.
Just because I know it.
Okay. Dave?
What were the options?
179, 189, or 199?
I know it's all related to some of the like flight regulations.
That's correct.
So I'm going to maybe 199.
That was going to be my guess, but just a guess.
What about you, Sean?
199.
That is correct.
Thanks, Sean. Every time Sean repeats what my answer was, I just feel validated. I feel like that's Sean putting his trust in me.
There you go. Yeah, there was a just like the tallest spire on the castle is that because it's flight regulations and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, that's as tall as it can be.
We learned that when we were on one of the Keys of the Kingdom tours. Alrighty. So what is the young girl who disappears in the elevator carrying? Is it a Donald Duck doll, a Minnie Mouse purse, or a Mickey Mouse doll?
Donald Duck.
That was a doll.
I'm pretty sure it's like a doll. I don't think it's a purse.
I'm going to say Mickey.
I'm going to go with Minnie Mouse on that one.
Okay, Minnie Mouse for Dave. George?
Donald Duck.
Donald Duck, of course.
And I'll go Mickey, just to,
Mickey?
All around.
And you said what, Dave, I'm sorry?
Minnie.
Okay. And Sean?
Minnie.
Thanks, Sean.
The answer is Mickey Mouse doll. Who had that answer?
Yay.
All right. I did.
Yay.
All right, very good. Do you want to do one more and we can start wrapping up?
Okay.
Kim, you get to pick the next one, okay?
What are the choices?
How well... God damn it, not even... This one's difficult. How well do you know the Disney parks clocks?
Not very well.
Wow.
Yeah, we're not going to do that one.
Toy Story... Expert level.
How well do you know Soarin' at Epcot?
Not well at all.
Then let's do that one.
I was going to say, yeah.
How well do you know
the Indiana Jones Adventure Tour?
No, not that I see yet. Okay, here we go. How well do you know Big Thunder Mountain Railroad? How well do you know Test Track at Epcot? Or how well do you know Soarin' at Epcot? Could make you do Frozen Ever After, but...
No,
you don't want to do, Big Thunder?
I'll do Big Thunder.
Because we rode that like 100 times last time we were at Disneyland.
Because we were trying to see.
We were just trying to see into Star Wars.
Star Wars Land, as I call it.
Okay. It's pulling up right now. There are four questions. How tall is the highest point of Big Thunder Mountain Railroad? Nearly 150, nearly 175, or nearly 200 feet tall?
200.
Okay.
Sure. 200, sure.
I'm going to go with 175 because they're not going to compete that much with the castle.
Mm.
Sean?
175.
Good job. The answer is 200.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Where in Magic Kingdom Park is Big Thunder Mountain Railroad located? Adventureland?
Frontierland.
Fantasyland? Or what Dave just said?
Whatever Dave just said.
What did he say?
I have no idea.
Frontierland.
Frontierland, yeah.
You all get a point. Even Sean.
Western land, yeah.
How tall must guests be to experience? 40, 42, or 45 inches?
42 inches. Long.
What was the low end one? Was it 40? Was that
40,
the low end
42,
one?
And 45.
40. 40.
What do you say, Kim?
I'll say 42.
And Sean's probably going to go with 40, right?
Well, for a ride?
Yeah.
Yeah.
42.
Okay. He went against you, Dave. Mm-hmm. And Dave was correct. It's 40.
It cost you.
It cost you this time. All right.
You chose poorly.
I stacked the deck on that one because he knows. I have small children.
I was about to say, he knows.
Big Thunder. Yeah.
And it's not, it's more of, I don't want to say it's a kiddie roller coaster, but it's more on the low end side. You know what I mean?
It's a kiddie coaster.
Yeah. All right. Guess who the winner is? Do a drum roll. Dave. By actually 2 points.
Woohoo.
Very good. So that means Sean as your partner, because he agreed with everything you said.
There you go.
Gets half of your winnings.
Tag teamed it.
Very cool. That brings me to something else I wanted to talk about real quick. I'm a big fan of the Kingdom Keepers books. Have you guys read these yet?
Nope.
No.
Okay, so Kingdom Keepers was a book by Riley Pearson, who usually did like mystery novels and stuff like that, adult mystery novels. But this is a story, a series of books he did that were based around a set of kids who were able to go into the Disney parks at night when it came alive, and they had to fight bad guys and villains and all this. It's a fun story. I think it's designed, it's a young adult thing, so kids would really like it. Dave, I think your kids would actually really, really enjoy it. But
I told you my youngest, she's 8. She was doing a Google Street View tours of Disney World last week. Did I tell you that?
Nice.
Yeah.
I watched a quick thing. I watched a YouTube of some guy like flying over Disney.
I came in the other room, into the living room the other day, and Kim was watching Disney YouTubers. I was like, yes, I'm so turned on right now.
Oh, wow. We were supposed to go this month, so it's kind of like, oh, you know, boom, there you go.
Yeah, well, we're going to go. It's just not going to be, it's going to be later than sooner for sure. So the series of books, there was like 5 or 6 in the main series, and they did a second series, and there's another one after that. But apparently Kevin Smith was attached to write and do a series, to be a showrunner for a series of this for Disney Plus. And Kevin Smith did a whole video chat about this. He was writing scripts, and he was doing Looking for George, where he was like outlines and stuff like that. Like spec script. Is that what it's called?
He wrote a spec script. Basically, yeah. He wrote a pilot.
Yeah. And it got really, really far. And then Disney decided, this is when they were still in the early plans of Disney Plus, that they didn't want to put all their eggs in one basket, basically, and put all their attractions and characters into one show. So it didn't happen. So
that seems like a really great concept that's like ready made for Disney Plus.
I know.
Yeah.
In Kevin Smith doing it would have been totally different, but than what the series I think would be.
Kevin Smith would have been the right voice though for that kind of show.
I tend to agree on that. Yeah. I mean, I know. I as much as a Kevin Smith fan as I am, I don't know if I would really want him to touch those properties, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he also, his Howard the Duck show fell through too, that's not happening anymore.
But Master of the Universe is still coming.
Yeah.
But
well, I mean, that's in the can already. They don't have a choice.
They're just, they have to. I know. I mean, this is something they still could do down the road, even if it was like an animated series, you know what I mean? I'd be down for that.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I think animated would be a lot easier than doing a live action for that.
Cheaper, that's for sure.
Much cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I keep thinking they're going to make a Haunted Mansion a special for Disney Plus.
Like an animated special or?
No, I think they're working on something. They just, I don't know what it is yet. Because I keep seeing like these murmurs pop up on like Reddit.
Really?
Reddit, subreddit for Disney Plus. And
yeah. That's cool.
Something's going on with Haunted Mansion. I think they're going to premiere it in either 20 or 2021.
Well, I mean, they were able to do Madame Leota on that one show I was talking about. It looked pretty cool.
Mm.
So I don't see why they couldn't do it, you know?
I think it's going to be an original show on Disney Plus.
Just don't put Eddie Murphy in it.
Oh.
It's the sequel. Come on.
No, it better not be.
That's right.
The only cool thing about that movie was the part where they were traveling on the horse-drawn carriage, and they actually saw scenes from the ride, from the attraction.
That was the only good part of that movie.
Only saving grace.
I've never seen that movie. It's on Disney Plus, right?
God,
I'm sure it is.
I think it's in that dark corner that, like, they put it up there because it belongs to them and they're obligated to, but they don't, like,
it's not promoted anywhere.
And be like, it's not showing up on anybody's recommended list.
Even if you looked for it, it's not going to show up on your algorithm. That's how bad it is.
Yeah. You sure you want to watch this?
There's like five messages before you actually play the movie. Are you sure? Wait a minute. You know about this movie, right? Are you really sure?
It's in the Beyond section. That's where
yes.
It is.
I mean, give it a shot. And if you get bored in the first 15 minutes, which you will, just fast forward to that one part.
All right.
But Master Gracie is, I can't think of the guy's name, but he actually did pretty well in that movie. I can't think of the actor name now. I'm drawing a blank on it.
I've blocked it out. I can't remember.
Did you guys watch the Goonies reunion they did through Zoom?
No. Was it good?
It's actually pretty cool. Even though Corey Feldman uses this time to promote his documentary, but it has a lot of people you would not expect. I mean, they bring Joey Pants onto it, and Steven Spielberg show up, and
oh, really?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, dude. And if you want to hear, and they bring Cyndi Lauper in the end, and they all start singing the song. So if you want to hear Steven Spielberg sing the Goonies Are Good Enough song, this is your one chance.
All right.
I definitely recommend watching it. It's only maybe half an hour-ish, but it's hosted by Josh Gad, too. So pretty cool.
Why did they do that? Was it like an anniversary or something?
No. I think they're just trying to find things to raise money for, you know, charities and stuff like that.
Well, they did that thing you do with, you know, watch along, whatever you want to call it.
It was a watch along with the cast members from That Thing You Do, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. It was awesome.
Speaking of watch alongs, I've been watching a fuck ton of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Have you? I should do that.
Excellent.
I need something to
approve.
Rewatching The Gauntlet again.
Are you talking about the new series or the older version?
The new series.
Yeah.
New
series. I haven't finished that.
Dude, The Gauntlet is probably some of the best writing they've done in a long time.
Yeah.
Thank you. I thought the season got a lot of shit, but I felt like it was pretty good.
I did too.
Some of the best they've ever done.
It's not, it hasn't been renewed.
No, they got canceled. It's done.
Yeah.
But I felt like Jonah, it was like a really nice blend between, Mike and, Joel's comedy style.
Yes.
I felt like he rode that line really well, because Joel was always really like dry and obscure with his humor, and Mike was always really punchy. It was always very quick and timely. I felt like Jonah rides that line really well. I felt like the way that they wrote him into this last season was really good.
Hey, George, you remember that time at Comic Palooza we were interviewing, who was it we were interviewing? I can't remember now. And Joel Hodgson like crashed our interview in this freak.
Was it Dana?
It was Dana Snyder.
Dana Snyder.
That was hilarious.
It was just like, hey, fuck these guys. Listen to me, Dana.
Haunted Mansion. It was Terrence Stamp.
No, Terrence Stamp was not Master Gracie, was it? It was Ramsley. It says.
Yeah, Ramsley. But
yeah.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Master. I was thinking Master Gracie in the movie was the butler, but that's how much I've put it out of my memory.
We all knew the butler really did it.
The butler did it.
Speaking with the candlestick.
We should do a Metal Geeks Science Theater.
That would be fun.
Okay.
I would be down for that.
I don't think we'll be as good as riffing, but I'm definitely
we might not, but we would have to pull something out of the Creative Commons to show it.
Sure.
I think that'd be fun.
Or we can just watch some shitty movies on YouTube.
We could what?
Watch some shitty movies on YouTube.
Okay, let's pick something and we could do that. All righty, guys. You have any last minute things you want to talk about? I think it's time to wrap it up so we can go eat dinner. We didn't get to eat pizza.
It's Sorry. I have something that's tickling my geek this week. I've been holding off.
Yes, let's do that.
So, it's really dumb, but I'm actually really excited about it. It's not live yet, but one of the free games for PlayStation Plus subscribers that's coming up for the month of May is Cities Skylines.
Oh, yeah.
And I am super excited because I love city simulator games.
Yes, you do.
Inexplicably, I love them. And Cities Skylines is a really good game. And I have it on Steam, but my PC, it starts to really weigh it down. Mm. Once my city gets to a certain size, it really bogs my computer down. So I'm looking forward to trying it on the PlayStation.
You should really consider Animal Crossing if the building shit is your jammy jam in video games.
Do you build a lot in that game?
A lot. That's all you do. Basically, the whole point is to make your deserted island be awesome. That is the whole point of the whole game.
Piggybacking on what Dave just said, I cannot wait. There's no release date yet, but I cannot wait until Planet Coaster comes out on the Xbox One. Because my computer can't handle that game either. Let's talk about it. What's tickling your geek? Let's go with our guest first. Let's go with Sean. I know what's tickling your geek.
I started rereading this series by Steven Erickson that I only got like three books into last time, called the Malazan series. And that's been cool because this guy on YouTube has launched this channel that basically goes chapter by chapter, like a reread of the books. And he's like analyzing the books as I go along.
He doesn't read them, does he?
No, he just it's a really dense fantasy series. It's really complicated. You get thrown in the middle of it, and the first time I read it, I was really having a hard time kind of figuring out how things are related. So to have a YouTube channel kind of launching this whole kind of chapter by chapter dissection as I'm reading it has been this weird coincidence, because I didn't find out about the channel until like a week after it launched, and I was already starting with the book. So
that's very cool.
Yeah.
What was the name of the book series again?
I think it's just called the Malazan series.
Malazan
Erickson. Yeah.
Okay. We'll put a link to that in the show notes on our website at metalgeekspodcast.com. Send me a link to that so I make sure I get the right one. Okay, Sean?
Yeah.
Very cool. Kim, what's tickling your geek this week? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I mean, like I said at the top of the show, the BioShock, you know, going to Switch. So that'll be fun because I played all three of those. So, yeah, it's really what I'm looking forward to. And I'm looking forward to whenever stuff opens up, able to see movies and all that. But, you know.
Concerts would be fun.
Yes, especially the two concerts that we didn't get to see.
Yeah.
That were really big. But, like, Fort Nagar, which is coming back next year. So that's very exciting.
We've been watching the Devin Townsend quarantine concerts. It's like a $20 donation, and it goes to a different hospital organizations. Yeah. Man, the one today was phenomenal. His set list was amazing. I have he sends me, not him personally, but that, Devin,
you have a speed dial. He sends you.
Devi sends me they send links out afterwards, and you can download the WAV file he puts it on his YouTube as well. But yeah, I'm gonna make MP3s and like make albums out of these and put them on my phone, and it's good stuff. It was really cool. My favorite thing about his setup is with Kim's favorite thing is like he has he took a gutted out a oscillating fan and put a camera in there and then turned the fan on
or something. And it's
so he has this camera that's just going like that the whole time. It's great.
Makes me laugh every time.
And what he did last time, he put like a one of those fancy mixers, and somehow put a rubber band onto a phone into like a stick from there coming off, so it sort of bounced. So he had this like bouncing. He called it the headbanging camera,
But it was like a mixer or something.
It was run
right?
by those, like, you know, those stand mixers, you know, like those, whatever you have.
Like a KitchenAid mixer. Yeah. Yeah.
And he was running.
I'm having trouble, like, understanding how that would work.
You'd have to see the video of it. He posted a link about it. And then he was controlling all his video setup the first 2 weeks with an Xbox controller. So he'd push a different button on the controller and it would switch to different cameras. The guy's so imaginative and amazing.
What happens when you're bored, I guess.
Yeah.
Exactly right. If you're creative and you're bored, creative shit happens. If you're not, you just watch a lot of Netflix.
We apparently benefited from it.
And we benefit from it. That's about it.
Yeah. And the organizations benefit from the money.
Donation. George, what's tickling your geek?
I have a few things, actually. I ordered myself a electronic scooter. Hopefully it will be here next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Where I park now, it's like a 30-minute walk from where I park to my office.
Wow.
And, it's fine. I don't want to park and take the metro because, you know, I don't want to be around people.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, as mean as that sounds, I'm just trying not to get sick.
No, I get you.
That's smart.
You already work in a hospital, so.
Yeah, so I decided to get an electric scooter, and supposedly this electric scooter will go up to 15 miles an hour. And if it does, that'd be awesome.
So you're going to drive it from your car to the office?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, we need video.
Yeah.
Hopefully, when it comes in, I'll videotape me, and I'm pretty sure I'll crash, and it'll be hilarious.
Yes.
For
what I need you to do is record it, and then we're going to speed it up, and then put the Benny Hill music to it.
There you go.
That's what I want to see.
That makes everything better.
Include all the crashing too.
And then I'm also when I bought the Indiana Jones game, I also bought myself a Xbox One game called The Sinking City.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That came out last year, I think, or this year. I don't remember when it came out. But it's a Cthulhu game, and it looks really cool, and it got really great reviews, so I'm excited to play it.
I haven't played it yet. I picked it up really cheap for, like, maybe $10 on the Switch one day.
I got mine for $13, and it's the Xbox One Day One edition, whatever that means.
Very cool.
And finally, I'm kind of working on some side projects again now that work is kind of not as busy. It's still busy, but not as busy. Yeah. So I have a little time at home to be working on this script that I hopefully will shoot when people can be in the same room with each other again.
Why don't we just do a virtual movie?
There you go. That's what we need to do, a Zoom edition of
movie. That's right.
When I get something that way. When I get a draft one done, we'll can do like a table read and we'll send it out to people.
There you go. That'll be fun. What am I looking forward to? I don't know right now. I'm looking forward, hopefully, to seeing the Monkees, but I don't know if that's going to happen not yet because they haven't actually officially canceled that tour, which is supposed to happen in July, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, it's a 50-50.
Yeah, I don't know. They're old, you know.
Up again back in June. So
I know, but I don't want to be. They're old, and I don't want them to be around a little bunch of people. That you know what I mean. Just
sure.
I would just wait. I mean, the older, you know. What I don't know what I'm looking forward to right now. Looking forward, hopefully, going to Disney sometime. That's about it.
Yeah.
Maybe a trip in December. Sort of looking forward to.
Yeah, we're going on a cruise in December, possibly. That's been booked for a long time with that family thing. I don't know. I can't think of anything major right now. Last of Us 2, maybe? That comes out.
That got pushed back.
Hey, Carrie.
Yes.
I know what you're excited about.
What am I
You're excited to go eat dinner.
I am. So that means we need to get off, right? No, real quick. Yeah, Last of Us 2 was supposed to come out May 29th. Now it's like June something.
Yeah, same thing for that Ghost of Tsushima.
Yes. But apparently somebody leaked the whole storyline and all the points. I don't know a lot about the story from Last of Us 2, so it's been spoiled out there. I have not looked. I don't want to know until I play the game. So we're good to go on that.
Speaking of which, just to kind of talk about your Last of Us. You know they're making an HBO show.
Yes.
There's also another HBO show that the trailer just came out for yesterday. It's called Lovecraft Country.
I did see that.
Yeah, if you haven't watched that trailer, go check out that trailer and then sign up for HBO Max because it premieres this month on the 27th.
Oh, we're that quick. I didn't know it was that quick.
I don't know if the movie or the show comes out this month.
Oh, but HBO Max?
I'm rolling out on the 27th.
Okay, very cool. Well, thanks everybody for hanging out. Before we move on, let's talk about where you can find us on the internet. You can visit us at metalgeekspodcast.com to keep up with all the geekery. If you want to send us an opinion, idea, any kind of comment you have, msrcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Metal Geeks. We're all over any kind of place you can find to download, you know, podcasting, your podcatcher. We're also on Google Play. We're on Spotify. We're on whatever they're calling iTunes now, Google
Podcast,
Apple Music, Apple Podcast. Of course, you can find us on one of our affiliates at the ESONetwork.com, where you can find all the killer shows that make up the ESO Podcast Network. You could also, you can find them, they have a feed out there too that puts all the ESO Network shows together too. It's pretty cool. Where can people find, let's start with our guest, where can people find Mr. Sean?
At the Metal Pigeon on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
And at MSRcast. We just put an episode out as we record. We put an episode out today with Maurice from Blues Funeral World. Blues Funeral, where we talk about keys and metal, synths and keyboards and all these kind of cool instruments that have keys on them. We run the gamut on these. It's a two-part episode. We run the gamut from like Deep Purple to Iron Maiden and Dimmu Borgir and just everything in between. It was a lot of fun.
Cool.
And where can people find Kim? Is just where are you on the internet? At Metal Geeks, checks Metal Geeks podcast.
Yeah, she's at Metal Geeks really.
And go ahead with you, George.
You could find me on all social medias at George Tripsis. Is George and with a G and TRIPSAS.
Very cool. And Dave?
Find me Red Viking Dave on social media. That's going to be primarily my artwork. Sometimes what I'm listening to, that kind of thing. So
very cool. Well, thank you guys. I love you all. I love all you guys. I love one of you actually more than the others, but we're not going to name any names here.
He's talking about
Dave. Love one of you. I love one of you more than the others as well, but I'm not going to say who.
Oh no,
it's me too.
It's Sean.
Nobody wants to admit to it.
We love all you guys out there. Stay safe. You know, take care of yourselves. And as we say, I'm going to let our two guests say it. How do we end every episode?
I go
keep it geeky
and keep it metal.
That's right. And I'll let George say it at the end.
It's a little bit backwards, but don't worry about it, guys. I got it from here. Okay. Let's keep it metal and always keep it geek.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.
I'm Drew Leiter.
And I'm Cletus Jacobs.
And we're here on the station surviving the coronavirus. Since you guys are probably quarantined there down on Earth, we'll let you know we got DC news, comics, television shows we're going to be talking about every week. Come join us every week on the Earth Station DCU podcast here on the ESO Network.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.